Yeah, we're gonna pray for that thing we need. Did you get that, Bob? Okay, this morning I want to take us to chapter 25 of 1 Samuel. And you know that this understanding of God's Scripture is not something external. We can't emphasize that enough, can we? It's not an external understanding. It's an internal understanding, and these are things that's going to be worked in our lives. Okay? I'll read this and we'll come back to breaking it down. And Samuel died, and all the Israelites were gathered together and lamented him and buried him in his house at Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel, and the man was very great. And he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife was Abigail. And she was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance, but the man was curlish and evil in his doings. And he was of the house of Caleb. And David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. And David sent out 10 young men, and David said unto the young men, Get you up to Carmel, and go to Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus shall you say to him that liveth in prosperity, Peace be both to you, and peace to your house, and peace to all those that thou have. And now I have heard that you have shears. Now thy shepherds which were with us, we hurt them not, neither were there aught missing unto them, all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show you. Wherefore let the young men find favor, my young men find your favor in your eyes, for we come in a good day, and give I pray you whatsoever cometh to thy hand, to thy servants and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all the words in the name of David, and ceased. And Nabal answered David's servants and said, Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants nowadays that break away every man from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shears and give it to men whom I know not whence they be? So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told David all those sayings. And David said to his men, Gird ye on every man his sword. And they girded on every man his sword, and David also girded on his sword. And there went up after David about 400 men, and 200 abode by the stuff. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to salute our master, and he railed on them. But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall to us by night and day, all the while we were with them, keeping the sheep. Now therefore, know and consider what you will do, for evil is determined against our master and against his whole household. And he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 bottles of wine and 5 sheep already dressed and 5 measures of parched corn and 200 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on asses. And she said to her servants, Go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband Nabal. And it was so as she rode on the ass that she came down by the covert of the hill, and behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Now David had said, Surely in vain have I kept all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertains to him, and he hath requited me evil for good. So more and also do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertain to him by the morning light any that pisses against the wall. And then Abigail saw David, she hasted and lighted off her ass and fell before David on her face and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, Upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thine handmaiden, I pray thee, speak to in thine audience and hear the words of thy handmaiden. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal. For as his name is, so is Nabal. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thy handmaid, saw not the young men of my Lord whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood, and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thy enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thy handmaid has brought to my Lord, let it even be given to the young men that follow my Lord. I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thy handmaiden, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord. And evil has not been found in you all your days. Yet a man is risen to pursue you and to seek your soul, but the soul of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God, and the souls of thy enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good he has spoken concerning you, and shall have appointed you ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense in thy heart to my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causelessly, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember your handmaid. And David said to Abigail, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent you this day to meet me. And blessed be your advice, and blessed be thou, you, which has kept me this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with my own hand. For in very deed as the Lord God of Israel lives, which has kept me back from hurting you, except you had hastened and come to me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any that pissed against the wall. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, and said to her, Go up in peace to your house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunken. Wherefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, and his wife had told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass about 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal that he died. And when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, Blessed be the Lord that has pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal, and has kept the servant from evil. For the Lord has returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head. And David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. And when the servants of David were come to Abigail to Carmel, they spoke to her, saying, David sent us to you to take you to him to wife. And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, Behold, let thy handmaid be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. And Abigail hasted and arose and rode upon an ass with 5 damsels of hers that went after her. And she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they were also both of them his wives. But Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Phalti, the son of Laish, which was of Galim. Now that's a mouthful. Let's go back and see what we can discern out of this for our own benefits, okay? To start this chapter, we have to go back and look at the last verse of the 24th chapter and realize something is setting precedence to set up this 25th chapter. And David swore to Saul, and Saul went home, but David and his men ascended up to the stronghold. Do you remember what the stronghold was? Tabernacles, the presence of God, the third realm, the Star Covenant, okay? So when David got up there, something happened. And it started right here in this 25th chapter. When you come to this realm of tabernacles, we're not talking about coming to a church that says we know about the third day or tabernacles. We're talking about you as an individual coming to this realm of tabernacles. Something's going to happen. Tell me what happens in this first verse. First 3 words. Samuel talking about the hearing. I no longer need to hear externally. Do you hear that? When I come there, I don't have to hear externally. Where do I hear? You think that's a coincidence what we were talking about this morning? Everything coming from internal? That's what we're talking about. That's what God's trying to show to us, that something has to happen when we come to this Feast of Tabernacles. We no longer have to hear it from out there. We have to be able to hear from inside. Once I begin to hear from inside, then I can judge what I hear from outside. Does that make sense? Once I hear it inside, then the witness comes to me from somebody else, some other vessel that God chooses, and I can say amen to that, if it's what it's supposed to be. If it's not, I can say, nope, reject it. This is how our life begins. This is truly where life begins. In the first 2 days, we really hear what? Nothing. In our Passover and Pentecostal experiences, we think we hear. Lord God, don't try to tell them they don't hear nothing, because they'll chew your head off and beat you with your arms and everything else. You know, they'll beat you to death. If you look in Isaiah 28, verse 9, 10, 11, it says, whom shall I teach knowledge, and whom shall I teach doctrine? Those that are weaned from the milk, weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast, the first two realms. Matthew 24 says it another way. He says, Jesus said, woe unto them that are with child in that day, and those that give suck in that day. First two realms. Again, there's many more references to that, and that's enough. So something else I can say about this first three words, and Samuel died. I'm going to say it a different way than something I already said. My external contact with God just died. Hear that? My external contact with God just died. Now, did he have to physically die? No. What you have to do is you have to sever that relationship with someone after the point that you take them as your supply and not God as your supply. Do you hear what I'm saying? That doesn't mean we have to break fellowship. What I'm saying is we have to come to a place where the preacher is not your supply. We come together for what reason? The fellowship and to share what we have. But we don't come together that I have everything and you are like a bunch of baby birds sitting here partaking from me. See, that's not God's purpose. It's that we grow to where we can all do the same thing. See, we all got to get to that place we can feed ourselves. If I can't feed myself, how can I feed the children? Right? And I'm not talking about natural things. I'm talking about spiritual. If I don't grow as a person, how could I feed anybody? See? If I can't truly feed my spirit, how can I feed anybody else's spirit? And it said all the Israelites were gathered together, and they lamented, or they wailed, and they buried him. Well, you know what? You got to realize in your head it's a done deal. Samuel has died in my life. God prepared me, and he's prepared many other vessels. And this is where you have to see yourself as a prepared vessel. It's not you're going to be a son someday. You were born and created as a son. Hear me? So when we find out that this is a done deal, how much pressure does it take off of you, Steve? It takes all the pressure off. Now all I have to do is be obedient. I just have to be obedient. But whenever he's buried, now hear me, most people, when Samuel was buried, they remember where he's buried, and they go dig up that carcass and have a little necromancy. Does anybody know what that is? Necromancy. That's having a relationship with a dead body. Okay? But that's what's happening in the church realm. It's necromancy. They're going back and living with the external instead of the internal, which is God. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is important to know that the external, once it's dead, once it's buried, you can't go dig it up and use it again. Sure it is. Sure it's the resurrection life in you. And look where they buried him. They buried him where he lived. Okay? Now, do you know where they buried? They said they buried him in his house. Now, that wasn't exactly right, but I understand where they got the words, but it's not exactly what the meaning is. They buried him in Ramah. Ramah is a place of caverns. Caverns. And he was the external source, correct? And the external has to pass away sooner or later, doesn't it? So guess what? All it was the natural mind. They put him right back in the natural mind. You don't need that anymore, do you? Ezekiel said, when you have the heart transplant he give you, you're going to have a new one. Would you need the old one again? No good to you. Couldn't even hook it up. And when that happened, watch what happened here. And when they buried him, and this is what happens to you, when you bury that external source of drawing from God, look what happens to you, because you are David. Put your name in there when you read that. You read your own name in there. Arose and went down to the wilderness of what? Paran. See? You're going to be, where did David live? In the wilderness of Paran, which I said the word caverns a while ago, but it's still talking the same thing, it fit. I missed a word there. But Paran is the place of caverns. David lived in and out of holes for a long time, didn't he? Because he was being chased by the old nature that wasn't even there anymore. But until it was time to come, he had to stay in that wilderness. I'm going to tell you, when you find out that your external source is no longer your supply, you're going to be in a place called a wilderness. And you may be in the midst of hundreds of people every day, but you're going to have the sensation of being in a wilderness. Can anybody agree or witness to that? You can be in amongst people and feel like there's nobody there. You're all by yourself. See? That's normal. If there is such a thing as normal, as a son of God, that's what you'll sense. That's what this book teaches us. So David goes to the wilderness in a place called Paran, the place of caverns. And there was a man there in this wilderness by the name of what? He was a man in Maon, the place of habitation, whose possessions were in Carmel. Now, he was in his habitation, but his possessions were in Carmel. Do you know what the word Carmel means? The garden land. He's talking about the mind of Christ. His true possession is in the mind of God, true or false? See, that's the Garden of Eden. It's in the mind of Christ. But he said he was in his habitation. See, he still thought he was an earth vessel running around here on the earth. Are we that? No. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. And this man was very great. And this man, who do you think this man was? It's us, in our natural understanding. And we see ourselves as very great. Do you know why this man saw himself as great? Because he lived in the I world of possession. See? Stuff doesn't mean anything to God, does it? It's only about, are you loving him? So this was about the Adam man, each one of us. And he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. That boy could preach that when he was shearing his sheep. He sure did. He was controlling everything. Now the name of the man was Nabal. Nabal means fool. So the man was a fool, or the fool. And the name of his wife was Abigail. Now Abigail means my father is my source of joy. Okay? She was the sensitive one. She had a little something going for her. Maybe she was using more of her brain than he was. Huh? And she was a woman of good understanding. That tells me she was using a little bit more of her brain. And of a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish. And the word churlish literally means he was cruel. And evil in his doings. And he was of the house of Caleb. You know what Caleb means? A dog. He was the house of the dog. He was carnal. He was humanistic. He was only worried about the natural man. And like most natural people have, the more they want, right? I'll go along with that. But they just didn't want to give her any credit for it. And David heard in the wilderness that the fool, okay, and David was the Christ, wasn't he? Hello? And Nabal did shear his sheep. It said David heard in the wilderness that Nabal did shear his sheep. David was the Christ, and Nabal was the fool, right? And David sent out 10 young men. What do you think that is? That's the Christ sending out the law. See? Once you've went to the wilderness, guess what? Do you really need the law? See? Don't need it now. My source is no longer external. I'm in the place of testing now. I've stepped into the wilderness. I don't need the law of Moses written upon pages of a book. Now I need the laws written in my heart. That's the new covenant, isn't it? God will write it upon your heart. He will place it within you. That's the only law I live by now, the law of Christ. This book is a witness to everything he said. Can't throw it away just because he wrote it in my heart. Okay. He sent out 10 young men, the law, and Christ said to the young men, ascend to Carmel. There's your message. What's Carmel? The garden land, the mind of Christ. So he said, y'all need to go to the same place. You need to get on up. Like in the book of Revelation, Spirit says, come on up. Come on up here. Come on. And go to Nabal, the fool, and request peace from him in my name. Go to him and say, have peace. Now see, God doesn't want us to go tell people in the world how nasty and terrible they are and tell them they're all going to burn in hell. That's not what God wants us to do. He wants us to go and make peace with the world. Didn't he say, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall inherit the earth. Right? We've got to make peace. But you know, making peace is not going along with what the world wants. There's a difference here. Making peace is speaking the truth of God. Would you agree to that? And sometimes when you speak the truth of God, you're going to offend people. You're not going to try to. You're going to. You don't have to try. It'll take care of itself. Anybody begin speaking truth, you'll know you'll be way out there in left field somewhere, and you'll be offending people. Okay? And thus shall you say, and here's what he told him to say, to him that lives in peace, he said prosperity, peace both to you and peace to your house and peace to all that you have. And he said, tell him that I have heard that you are shearing, and now your shepherds were with us, and we didn't hurt them, neither was anything missing from them, all the days they were in Carmel. That all the days they come over here, we didn't hurt nobody. They were in protection. He said, ask your young men, and they will tell you. Wherefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, because we come in a good day, the day of the Lord. Give, I pray you, whatsoever cometh to your hand to thy servants and to thy son David. Here's a man anointed king over Israel, and he's still saying, I'm your son, I'm your servant. I'll take whatever you give me. Just as the subject, and I've been asked about it here recently when we was traveling, about giving money or tithing. And as I hear this, I hear the tithe in it. Because the law has demanded that we give money, true or false. But the law, now hear what I'm saying, the law demands that you give money. But Jesus, who was the King of Peace, Melchizedek, right? When he was in Genesis 14 and making his show up there to Abraham, what did he do? Abraham said, gave tithes of all that he had. What did Melchizedek do? He received. It said he received what he brought to him. And if you go to Hebrews chapter 7, you'll find out that the Levitical or the Aaronic priesthood took tithes. But the Melchizedek priesthood, which is the same yesterday, today, and forever, he changes not, correct? They receive. The Melchizedek priesthood receives whatever is brought. And this is what I see in David, because he can't change. He can't say, well, I can take now because I have need. No, you receive no matter what. You never question. You never preach condemnation and guilt. You take what God gives you. Kind of like Paul said, with whatever lot you're in, learn to be content therewith. Okay? And this is what I see in David. This is the son. See, they just receive whatever God gives them. And when David's young men came to speak to the fool, according to all the words in the name of David, and what? They waited for his reply. They said what they got to say, and then they waited for the reply. And see, a good messenger does this. When he delivers a message, he waits for a return. Right? So you can take it back and give it to the person that sent you. And Nabal, the fool, responded to David's servants and said, "Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants today that break away from every man his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my flesh that I have killed for my shearers and give it to men whom know not whence they be?" Which I don't know where they're from. You know what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14? A natural man receives nothing from the Spirit of God, neither can he, because it is spiritually discerned. See, we're not talking physical stuff. There was physical stuff that was teaching us about the spiritual stuff going on inside. Nabal, the fool, had no idea what was being done. He was being used to set this pattern for us. So David's young men turned their way and went again and came and told him of all those words that the fool had said. Okay? And David said to his men, "Gird on your sword." And they girded on every man his sword. And David also girded on his sword. And there went up behind David about 400 men and 200 abode by the stuff. Now notice what happened. David was in the process. He was still in the wilderness. He'd not been called from the wilderness yet. And as soon as someone stood up and did not do what he thought was right, what did he do? He drew his sword to go to battle. He was still in preparation. He wasn't going to do spiritual warfare. He was going to chop somebody's heads off. And that's what we have to watch. When we're in that place of immaturity, we're still a double-minded person. Would you agree to that? When we're in immaturity, we're still double-minded, and we'll be quick to draw that sword to draw somebody's blood, just as the disciples did in the Garden of Eden, in the Garden with Jesus, Garden of Gethsemane. Remember the sword come out, whopped off Malchus's ear? Same thing, quick to draw the sword. When we come to maturity, guess what? We won't do that. We won't even be packing a sword. The only sword we'll be carrying is the Word of God within us. It's the only sword we'll need. But anyway, David was still in a place of preparation, okay? And he had some people stand back and guard his stuff. He thought that was important. But one of the young men told Abigail, remember her joy, "My father is my source of joy," is what her name means, Nabal the fool's wife, saying, "Behold, David sent messengers in the wilderness to salute," or literally to bless, "our master," and he screamed at them. You'd be surprised the people that say they're spiritual would scream at you. But they're of Nabal. They just say, you know, in the book of Revelation it says, there's some who say they're Jews, but they do lie. They're of the synagogue of Satan. They're the natural man. You have to realize, saying something is not the same as living that thing God has set before us. Is living for God easy? Not when you're thinking about it. But if you will let God direct your ways, there's no more effort to it, see? And as long as we have these struggles, it's because we are trying to decide what the course should be and what the action or the reaction should be. As long as we're thinking about, well, that wasn't fair. Well, that shouldn't have been that way. See, I have to accept what my master gives me. And so do you. That's resistance. And when we resist, it's there for a reason. It'll show us that it was a wrong thought process. When we resist what God says, there'll be a resistance, I guarantee you, in our lives. But after a while, that resistance tends to fade away. The more you go through it, the more it fades away. Okay, where am I at? Oh, 15. "But the men were very good to us, and we were not hurt, neither missed we anything. All the days we were we were conversant, it says, but literally all the days we lived with them when we were in the fields. They were a what? The language literally says they were a wall of protection to us both by night and day, all the days we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what you will do, because evil is prepared, not determined, but prepared against our master and against all his household. He is a son of Belial, the wicked, that a man, so much that a man cannot speak to him. The heart of man is what? Desperately wicked and evil above all things. That's the natural thinking process. And all she was saying, all this man was saying to her was, your husband is so evil, so carnal, you can't even talk to him. And I believe everyone else has met people like that. They were so carnal in religion that you can't talk to them. If you say something, they just get mad. They just get tight-lipped, stiff-legged, and spit and sputter, throw things and stomp away. See? And that's the way this man was. He's so much a son of Belial or the wicked that a man cannot speak to him. And Abigail made haste. Now, who would Abigail be in here? See, it's my soul. I've got some thinking in my soul. I've got some things going on inside of me. And my woman has to seek after her husband. Yeah. Listen to the book of Song of Solomon. In the Song of Songs. Yeah, where is my beloved? Have you seen my beloved? She was out seeking after him, wasn't she? We got to do the same thing. Abigail had something going. She had something called discernment going on. And Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves of bread, 2 bottles of wine, 2 skins of wine is what it should say, and 5 sheep already dressed, and 5 measures of parched grain or wheat, not corn. There is no corn in that culture over there then, and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs, and laid them on the asses, or the male ass. That's the red beast, okay? And she said to her servants, go on before me. Behold, I come after you. But she told not her husband, the fool. Okay? There's a time when your woman's going to take control, okay? And do what's right, even when your natural man doesn't want it. And it was so, as she rode on the ass, that she came down the hill by the covert, or the secret part of the mountain. Behold, David and his men came down against her, and she met them. Here's what's kind of neat about this. I see a pattern that Abigail is married to Nabal, the fool, the natural man, and David has already put his eye upon her, said she was beautiful. Okay? And you know what? That's the Christ coming after the woman. And he says, no man can come to her, no humanity can come to me except the Spirit draw them. And David saw that this was a woman that he desired. And he went after her in the natural, but in the spiritual, it's Christ going after his bride, okay? And he's a many-membered bride. How many did David have? 1,000? 1,000 representing all, okay? And she said, you go on, but she didn't tell her husband, the fool. And it was so as she wrote down, oh, I did that one, okay, 21. Now David said, surely in vain have I kept all of this in the wilderness. Nothing was missed of all that pertained to him, and he has returned me evil for good. Now there's what'll get you going in your mind. It ain't fair. I've been better than that. That's what David was thinking. He said, I was a good guy. I took care of this guy's stuff, took care of his people, fed them, guarded them, protected them. And here I come over here and we're hungry, and the man won't even feed me. See, now I began to think with natural thinking again. I need to get even with this guy. I'll show him. And see, what kind of thinking is that? That's the fool's thinking. That's Nabal's thinking. Just because somebody did me wrong does not mean I retaliate and do something wrong to them. And you know what? If it wasn't for this woman, David would have done that. Sometimes you got to watch the woman's right. Okay. So more also do God to the adversary, not enemies, because I got to let you know something here again. There is no plurality in enemies. The word is adversary, singular. You know what? You only have one adversary. This word is singular. It only means your carnal mind of the Christ. The only adversary of Christ is your natural thinking process. He said, if I leave all that pertain to him by dawn, by the morning light or by dawn, any that urinates against the wall. That's what it literally says in the language, urinate. That's King James language where he says pisseth. And when Abigail saw Christ, she hasted and lighted off the ass. She got off her natural perch of being up there and went down to a place of humility before Christ on her face and bowed herself to the ground. And she fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, let this iniquity be upon me. And let your handmaiden, I pray, speak in your ear and hear the words of thy handmaiden. The word hear is the word shama. I want you to hear with the intent to respond. That's what she's saying. I want you to hear me, but I want you to respond to what I'm saying. Let not, my Lord, I pray you, regard this man of Belial, this wicked man, even Nabal the fool, because his name or his nature, it's the word shame, which means nature, his character, is so, as his name is, so is he. He's a fool, as is his name. And folly or wickedness is in him. But I, thy handmaiden, saw not the young men of my Lord whom thou didst send. She's saying, I would never have let him treat you that way. Okay? Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as thy soul lives, seeing the Lord has withholden you from coming to shed blood and from avenging yourself with thine own hand, now let your adversary and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal, as a fool. Let them be foolish. Now, David recognizes later on that she withheld him. But what did she do? She said, seeing the Lord has withholden you from that. She's saying, I'm just the vessel. Yeah, she gave him a prophetic word, but she said, I'm just the vessel. It's coming through. The Lord's doing this through me. She's not taking any credit for anything. And now this blessing, which thy handmaid has brought to my Lord, let it even be given to the young men that follow my Lord. Now there's a whole bunch in this verse. What is the blessing? She said, and now this blessing which thy handmaid has brought to my Lord, what is it? It is not all those things that we talked about up here. She had so much back in 18. She bought the 2 skin bags of wine, the 5 sheep, the 200 loaves of bread, and all that. That's not the blessing. See, we can get caught up in those natural things and miss the point. The blessing was she brought a hindrance to him going on and making a fool out of himself by going and slaughtering all these innocent people. You see what I mean? God used that man as a part of the test in David's life, true or false. And she came, and this is the true blessing, not the natural food, but the fact that she brought this truth and revealed it to him that he didn't need to go and slaughter these people. She kept him from being that bloody man, didn't she? Okay? But the thing's not over with yet. It says, let it be given to the young men that what? Last of verse 27. That follow my Lord. There's 2 words here. Walk the steps. Walk in steps. Walk the steps of my Lord. That anybody that follows after David, who was what? The Christ. Anybody that follows him, let them receive the same blessing. Not that they get fed meat and cakes and raisins and wine, but that they get the same blessing, that they will withdraw their hand from shedding blood. Do you hear me? Now, it doesn't mean today that we have to go out and shoot somebody or cut their head off or run them through with a sword to kill somebody, does it? It's this thing right here. It's that tongue. And it's controlled by what? This thing up on top. And when the mind of Christ is in there, could the mind of Christ slay anybody? It's an impossibility. And that's what the true blessing is. Let them receive the same thing. Okay? Okay. Verse 28. I pray you forgive the trespass of thy handmaiden. Okay? Now, what trespass did she do? No. She didn't do anything. She said, let this iniquity fall upon me. She didn't do it. Her husband did it, the fool. Nabal, right? The natural mind. She said, don't worry what that did. Let me take the responsibility. Isn't that the mind of Christ? Didn't he say, Father, forgive them? Stephen said, lay not this sin to their charge. See, don't worry about what it is. But she didn't really have a trespass. Did Jesus have a trespass? He took the sin anyway, didn't he? That's the pattern. Absolutely. Sure it is. Because the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house. Because my Lord fights the battles of the Lord. And evil has not been found in you all your days. She's prophesying to him. But you know what? The book said he was a man after God's own heart. In 1 Corinthians 6 and 19, you know what it says? Know ye not that you're the tabernacle of the living God? See? Sure it is. And we're all going to come to a place in our lives where it's going to become prevalent that God is resident in our house. You know why? Because he's going to start cleaning that house up. He's not going to ask you if he can sweep out the closets. Yeah, he's going to get it when he's ready. Guarantee you, he's going to bring it out. Then she goes on to say, yet a man, here's the prophetic word, yet a man is risen to pursue you and to seek your life or to search out your soul. That's what it literally says. But the soul of my Lord is bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. And those words are not all correct. Let me restate this. Yet Adam is risen. The word man there is Adam, 120. Adam is risen to pursue you and to search out your soul. What's he there for? Huh? He's there to work things out in you. But the soul of my Lord is, not shall be, but is bound in the bundle of life with Yahweh Elohim. What is that? First fruit. They're bound together. That means once you're bound in there, can you ever get out of it? You're part of him. No way. Excuse me. And the soul of your adversary shall be slung out as in the middle of a sling, like tossed away. The adversary is this. Right up there. Yeah, and you hit somebody right there. And it shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and shall have appointed you ruler over Israel. He's already been anointed, hadn't he? But he has not come to a maturity. Remember what it says in Galatians? We'll all be under the sons, under the rulers, tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. That this shall be no grief or stumbling block to you, nor offense of heart to my Lord, neither that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord has avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with my Lord, then remember your handmaiden. So he's saying, all these things that come to pass, she's saying, don't worry about what you didn't do. Don't worry about the fact that you didn't get even with Nabal. Don't worry about the offenses in your heart because of that. Neither that you have not shed, that you had shed blood, or that my Lord has avenged himself. Don't worry about all those things. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with you, Then remember your handmaiden. Okay. Kind of sounds like the cross. And David said to Abigail, bless the Lord God, or the Yahweh Elohim of Israel. Not God the Father, but bless the first fruit, which sent you this day to meet me. And bless thy advice, and bless you, which have... this day from coming to shed blood and from avenging myself with my own hand. Now, he's giving her credit because she stopped him from killing people. She saw Christ. He saw Christ in her, didn't he? For in every deed, or literally nevertheless, the Lord God, Yahweh Elohim again, of Israel lives, which has kept me back from hurting you. And then he comes back and says, you did it, but God really stopped me, right? Through you. Except you had hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal the fool by the morning light any that urinates upon the wall. So David received of her hand that which she had brought him and said to her, that he received. He didn't take anything, did he? If she had not stopped him, he would not have been of the tribe of Melchizedek, would he? He wouldn't have been a part of the Melchizedek because he would have took instead of receiving. And said to her, go in peace to your house. See, I have hearkened. The word hearkened is Shammah again. I've heard and I've responded to your voice and have accepted your person. See, I've heard it and I've responded to it. He knew she spoke truth. And Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he held a feast in his house like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. Therefore she told him nothing, less or more, until the morning light. Now, do you realize that we are intoxicated or drunken in our lives in the natural world by possession of things? Those things intoxicate us. That's why they have such a draw in our lives. And you know what? There's one nature about an intoxicated man that's really amazing. Well, no, when he's inebriated, he is uninhibited. He'll do and say vile things. He'll say what he has in his natural mind. See? So when he was very inebriated, she could not speak to him. See, the natural man can say anything when we're caught up in all this stuff. That's why we can be so protective of our stuff. And David still sent 200 people set back there to guard his stuff, didn't he? Still yet some carnality in there. So, kind of like people putting all kinds of security cameras up and all these fences and machine guns on the walls and stuff to protect their stuff that wasn't worth all the stuff they spent for cameras. It's kind of foolish. Huh? Any second, their heart could fail them. And she couldn't speak to him until the morning light. Did you hear what that word says? You can't speak to people until the morning light, till the day star dawns in someone's heart. There's nothing you can do about it. You can talk to them, and all you're going to do is just like Nabal was there, he's going to be offended when David said, hey, I've done it for you, won't you do it for me? I don't have to. See? That's that natural heart talking. Okay? Where am I at? Oh. But it came to pass in the morning, when the wine was gone, the revelation was really gone out of Nabal the fool, and his wife told him these things, that his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. The word of God is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, isn't it? The same word that brings life to some brings death to others. That's okay. It's meant to be the natural man to die. It's appointed unto man once to die. Got to die, don't we? I'd rather die with the Word of God than through some other stupid thing, wouldn't you? I'd rather die with the Word of God. I have. I've been killed by the Word of God. Thank God for that. But anyway, and he became as a stone. And it came to pass 10 days after that the Lord smote Nabal that he died. 10, the law. And I think in Revelation said he'll put you in jail for 10 days. Some of you be killed. Some of you put in jail for 10 days. But anyway, he died. Now, who killed him? The word of God killed him, but it says the Lord smote Nabal that he died. Okay. People says God don't do anything like that. Well, they better read the book a little better, hadn't they? And when David heard, with the intent to respond with the things that happened, Nabal, the fool, was dead, he said, bless the Lord. Now that word there, Lord, is not Yahweh Elohim, it's just Yahweh. That he pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of the fool, and has kept his servant from evil. Here's a man that realized, boy, it's a good thing I didn't jump in there, because I could have tried to help God out, and all I would have done was messed myself up. Absolutely. The battle is the Lord's. Don't try to do it yourself. Because the Lord hath returned the wickedness of the fool upon his own head, and David sent and communed with Abigail to take her to him to wife. Okay? And when the servants of David were come to Abigail, now guess where Abigail was? Carmel, in the garden. See, you know where you're going to find your mate? You want to know where you're going to find your mate? In the garden. Within. You're going to find your mate in here. See, you're going to have to go find her. As the Christ, he goes and gets his woman. Yep. And they spoke to her, saying, David sent us to you to take you to him, the wife. And she arose and bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, behold, thy handmaiden be a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. And Abigail, again, my father is my source of joy, hasted and rose up and rode on the ass with 5 damsels of hers. Wonder what that 5 might be. The 5 senses. Right with her. See? She took all of her natural stuff. Still carrying her baggage, absolutely. But still with her. It's okay. If you learn that they are not the primary source of your life, she hasn't came yet to realize that her father is the source of her joy, not her senses, her 5 female companions. Okay? They're soulish companions. That walked after her, and she went after the messengers of David and became his wife. She walked behind them. She went behind them and became his wife. And David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and they were also both of them his wives. What does that mean? Ahinoam, my brother is delight. My brother's delight. And Jezreel, God sows. And they were also both of them his wives. Guess what? God put it all together. And there's a reason for all these things. But Saul had given Michal, one like God, his daughter, David's wife, to Phalti. Now, Phalti, guess who that is? My deliverance. My deliverance. He gave the one like God to David's wife to deliver the son of Laish. And Laish, guess what that means? A lion. And what it says in 1 Peter 5 and 8? Your adversary, the devil, walks around seeking whom he may destroy. So it's the lion, the negative thing, which was of what? Galim. You know what that means? No. It means a heap of stones or a heap of dung. You have to look a little deeper. Heap of stones or a heap of dung. So the lion, the carnal mind, guess what? Is just a big heap of dung. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Just when he thought he had arrived, boom, there's another test. They just keep coming. Doesn't that sound familiar to your life? You think you got it under control, and your natural mind says, we have arrived, and about that time we get a messenger fly up right in our face, like them pop-ups on our screen on our computer. You have just been had. When you look at something, you have to look at the context. The question was this: when we're looking at the language and study, how do we determine how far to go with it? Okay? I can't say go to the first level, second level, third level, tenth level. That's not the question. That's not even the answer. Not either anything to do with it. What you have to do is look at the context of what you're talking about. Okay? And we're talking about a negative context in that word. Okay? Did you spring it? Did you roll it up?
Yeah.
All the way? Now hit it here, and now go back to that word again, Darlene. Okay, now click there, the root word, there it is, go into the root. Okay, there it is. Sometimes when you look at a word that's being used, you will see that the word comes up and it makes no sense. Have you ever seen that? You're looking in your Strong's, looking at the language, seeing what it is, and you'll find out that word doesn't make any sense whatsoever for that place that's stuck in there. So what would you do, Steve?
What I do, I'll read through each one of them. First one here, I'll read that word in them to myself until I want to feel right and sure.
Right, okay. But you can go to the root word of it.
Right.
If there's embedded words in your Strong's, like the root words, you can look at those root words. A lot of times there's where your meaning comes from, and you can find that. But it takes, like I say, it's by the Spirit will lead you and see that that meaning will flow into the context of what you're looking at. You can't just take word, slice it and dice it in legalism. You've got to let the Spirit flow through the thing and bring the truth to the surface, because it'll tell the story, right? Does that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay. I just got a letter from a lady in New York this week. And she said, well, here, let me read. I think I got it with me. I want to read something. I think I do. Nope. That's laying on my desk. Anyway, it's in the office. She said, this lady from New York sent us a letter this week. And she said, when the tapes are going, when they go, I just wish they'd never stop, because I'm learning so much from the tape. And then we come to the end when the questions come, like we're talking now, just communicating back and forth. She says, that's when I feel like I get to know you people. And she says, that's when I feel like I'm cheated, because I'm not there, you know. And there's so many people say the same things to us. They wish they were here for the freedom that you have to discuss, because they can't find fellowship where they can express themselves and say what they've got to say. They just have to sit there and listen and go home. And no one has time to talk to them or visit with them at any time. And it's sad, but that's the way the church realm is. Yeah. This last time over the holidays, we went to Canada. We let everyone express themselves. And instead of just a regular teaching, going in me trying to teach something, I really felt led to just let, and we had several meetings, and each one of them was the same thing. Not press a teaching, but you express some issue in your life that you really need clarification on, and then we'll work with it openly between everybody. You know, we're all going to talk about it. And it really was a good time. And I really enjoy those times when we can just sit and communicate with each other. That, to me, is real fellowship. It's not just coming to teach. It gets too formal. Even though I'm very informal in what I do, it still gets kind of formalized because we try to get set in some routine, and sometimes we just need to talk about things. And Jesus did that a lot. He just sat and talked with his people. I guarantee you Paul talked to his people. I guarantee you Peter talked to the people. All the disciples sat and talked to the people. I can show you in Scripture where he sat and talked till midnight. You know what? I've talked till 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock in the morning with people. It's okay. It's what we should be doing. Communicate. So, huh? Yep. He fell out of what window? Third loft he fell out of, because he wasn't here and he fell asleep. You fall asleep the third day, you'll have to break your neck. So once you do that, you know what you got to do? You better be thankful there's a prophet in the third day. It's going to raise you back up again, put life back in you. Something like that.